Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is a portion of the epistle you've just heard read from 1 John chapter 2. My little children, I'm writing this to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the expiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Dear friends in Christ, we are approaching the longest day of the year. The hours of sunshine have been lengthening, and very soon we'll come to the longest day. We are probably seeing about 16 hours of sunshine per day. And as we rejoice in the glorious light of summer, we are reminded of the even more glorious light of the Gospel, in which St. John is encouraging us to walk. Our text has two aspects. First of all, if we're to walk in the light, we need to confess our sins. To confess our sins means to walk in the truth. And the second aspect is to believe the gospel. There's a tension in this first epistle of St. John. A tension between, on the one hand, his stress that we are to avoid sin like the plague. If the word abides in us, we won't sin. And on the other hand, if we say we have no sin, we are liars and there's no truth in us. Luther's comment on the first verse of our text was like this: he who can make this text intelligible to us should be called a theologian. This tension must remain. The tension between, on the one hand, avoiding sin like the plague, and on the other hand, admitting that we are all sinners. First of all, St. John's encouragement, my brothers, my little children, I'm writing this to you so that you may not sin. And he means this very, very seriously. As St. Anselm said, you have not yet considered what a great weight sin has. What a great weight, what a great burden sin is. Our own sins of pride, of lovelessness, selfishness, laziness, lack of self-control, all of this causes tremendous pain to our God, tremendous pain and harm to ourselves and to others. And we should always consider this. We should always consider the great weight of sin. An example that comes to my mind of people who have disregarded this admonition of St. John, I'm writing to you so that you may not sin. From my own seminary days in Australia, where there was a small group of students, fortunately none of them made it into the ministry, they had the attitude that if we are to minister to sinners, we need to know what sin is first of all. We need to know what it means to gamble and get drunk and do things like that. They were reacting against the pietism of their Lutheran forebears. Another example, and this time a positive example that comes to mind, is from the doctrinal handbook of the Lutheran Church in New Guinea, which uses the picture of the crocodile, the puk-puk as it's called in New Guinea. The Christian who has been saved from sin is like the person who has been saved from the crocodile. And what a fool that person would be if he or she then deliberately dives back into the water to associate with the crocodile again. No, the Christian constantly fights against sin, fights against the crocodile. We are, as one pastor has said, a walking civil war. On the other hand, because of our constant consciousness of our sins, we face realistically that we daily sin much, as Luther puts it in the Catechism, the need for daily repentance. And the tension in St. John's first epistle is reflected in Luther's morning and evening prayers, where every morning he says that we should pray saying, I thank you, Father, and so on, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger, and I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil. But then in the evening we're to pray, I thank you, Father, and so on, that you've graciously kept me this day, and I pray that you would forgive me all my sins where I have done wrong. In the morning we pray that we may be kept from sin. In the evening we pray for forgiveness of the sins of that day. That's the tension of the Christian life, the polarity of the Christian life, from which we can't escape this side of eternity. But thank God that in this Christian church, he richly and daily forgives all sins to me and to all believers. And so the two aspects of confession and absolution belong to the essentials of our Christian life and our worship. The confession and absolution should not be seen as an optional extra in our Sunday worship, but should be regularly present. We need it. And above all, we need the absolution, the living voice of the gospel, as Luther called it, the reminder that the blood of Christ, the assurance that the blood of Christ, as St. John puts it, cleanses us from all sin. And then he goes on. When we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And in our text this morning, if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. One of our hymns says, I know my sin and condemnation, I also know my Saviour's voice. Whenever our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts, and he knows all things. And above all, he knows what our Saviour has done for us, what our advocate has done, our comforter, our defence counsel, as we could put it. And our text ends up, he is the propitiation for our sins. Propitiation, the one who propitiated God, who placated God, who was angry at us because of all our sins, and justly angry. And he has made a full atonement, not only for your sin and my sin, but for the sins of the whole world. And that's the glorious gospel, the light of the gospel, that we are called to believe and called to proclaim to the whole world. A few days ago, my wife was listening to the radio, one of the radio stations you can pick up here in Fort Wayne, and she heard someone giving a Bible study on St. James's epistle, where the words were used, this Bible study on St. James is for normal, struggling, and sometimes victorious Christians. Now we believe with St. John, for sure we're always struggling, but at the same time, we are always victorious. That's what we believe as Lutherans, as people who accept the gospel of the New Testament. At the same time, Luther said, we are both sinners and righteous, always sinners, always repenting, always righteous. And our righteousness, which covers us at all times, is our faith in the righteous one, Jesus Christ the righteous, the perfect and full propitiation for our sins. And so, always struggling, always victorious. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ and his perfect and full atonement. We thank God this morning for that perfect atonement. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.